It's good to see everybody this morning. Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs 25. I'd like to look at verses 6 and 7. I'm kind of torn between naming this, "Put not forth thyself," or "How does a sinner approach God?" I may just change the name, David, Linda. Proverbs 25, verse 6 and 7 says, "Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, Come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen." Solomon, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, gave these words of wisdom. This is what he said. He said, "Be not froward." Don't be self-assertive or boastfully ambitious in the presence of the king. My margin says in that, "Put not forth thyself," just don't set out thy glory. Don't put forth your own glory. "And stand not," Solomon said, "in the place of great men." Don't stand or place yourself and claim honor that you don't possess, is what he was saying. He said, because it's better if it be said unto you, "Ascend up and come up hither," than that you should be put lower and cast down, depressed or humbled in the presence of the prince, that is, the noble. The noble in rank, the noble in mind, the noble in character, the one before whom you're standing. Now, many of the writers said, and I think they've got some reason to believe this, that this passage of Scripture right here was the text that the Lord took to teach a group of people, among whom many that he was teaching, of course, trusted in themselves that they were righteous. I want you to just mark your place right there and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 14. That passage had to have sounded familiar to you. Luke chapter 14. And I want to just read the account, verses 1 to 14, of our Lord. Luke 14, 1, "It came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy." That is, it's a disease where there's an accumulation of fluid, either the heart or lungs or some dropsy. "And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those that were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him, and he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Now, the Lord had been invited to a Pharisee's house, and not because of their love and for their respect for him, but that they might, back in Luke 14:1, that they might watch him. They just wanted to kind of inspect him with a harmful intent. They just want to see, what is he going to do? I'm going to try to catch him doing something. And he exposed their arrogant, self-righteous thoughts of being lawkeepers. You know, they were the Pharisees and the lawyers, those that we know. We know what the law says and we've kept it. And he knew of their intent to discredit him. And so he was going to ask them a question. And he knew that they felt that they were qualified to answer whatever question you might have for us. He knew they thought that. And so the Lord, to rebuke their arrogance and expose their ignorance of the law, He's going to ask them a question. Now, he taught first through the healing of this man, this with dropsy, this water retention. He's going to teach them the God-pleasing attitude of God's mercy towards sinners. Now, this man was a fit type of every vessel of God's mercy. Now, if you want to know about the types in here, here's one right here. This man with dropsy. He was sick, and that sickness obviously was eventually going to be fatal. And he was like Mephibosheth, lame on both his feet, spiritually sick, head to toe, and nothing he could do about it. And the Lord asked him a question. In verse 3, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Now, here's the question. Is it according to and honorable to the law of God to heal on the Sabbath day? Now, this Sabbath day is that day that pictures him. And he knew that they knew, you know, what the law says, keep the Sabbath, keep it holy, you know, don't do any work. Is it lawful? And the scripture says they held their peace. They didn't answer him because they didn't know how to answer it. They didn't know what to say. And the Lord healed the man. He healed that sick man, who, again, as a picture, the man didn't even ask him to heal him. Which vessel of God's mercy ever initiated his healing? None. If we cry unto the Lord and ask him to heal us spiritually, we call on him because he called first upon us, Mark. He called us. Saul, Saul, who are you? Who are you, Lord? This man didn't ask for the Lord's help. And in that act of kindness and mercy to this sick man, The Lord of the Sabbath himself exhibited the reason that he came to save his people from their sins. This is the reason. This is why. He healed that man to prove. This is all men by nature. We're all spiritually sick. Head to toe. And these Pharisees, they would grumble and find fault with the Lord for healing a helpless man on the Sabbath day. But the Lord asked them, he said, if you had one of your animals, you had an ass or an ox that was falling into the ditch on the Sabbath day. He said, which one of you would not pull it out? And our Lord taught that it was always lawful. He asked him, is it lawful? He didn't ask if it was merciful. That's not what he asked him. Yes, it was merciful. Was it compassionate? Yes, it was compassionate. Is it according to the law of God, is what he said. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? He taught that it was always lawful to do upon the Sabbath day that which was necessary and merciful. And that he was the one who was the law keeper. He was the law giver. He said unto them, I am and you're not. That's what he said. The Lord rebuked some Pharisees. Hold your place right there. Turn over to Matthew 9. Matthew 9, verse 10. Matthew 9, 10 to 13. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 10. It came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I will have mercy. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. He quoted Hosea 6:6 is what he did. And he was declaring to them that to have mercy upon sinners is a righteous act pleasing unto God more than the offering of sacrifices and the performance of religious duties, religion and religious activities. I can tell you this, without mercy is nothing more but self-righteous hypocrisy. That's what they were doing. They felt as though, because I don't walk but this many steps, I don't pick up sticks, I don't do this and the other, that I'm holy before God. I'm keeping the Sabbath. And he taught us here first how God alone saves his own. Mercifully, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He does it graciously. He does it compassionately. And does it in full compliance with the dictates and demands of God's law, the law that he completely satisfied. And secondly, he taught how a sinner, one made new in Christ, comes to him. Now, I said that exactly the way I wanted to say it. How a sinner comes to him. How he does come. No sinner comes in order to be saved. The Lord's got to do something first. This man was healed by the Lord because the Lord was pleased to have mercy on him. He was a picture, a type. And he noticed how those that were bidden to the Pharisees' house, how they were acting. He was going to teach them something about how a sinner comes to Christ. And how he comes to Christ as the Lord has made him willing in the day of the Lord's power. The Lord, he asked him first. First thing he asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? They didn't say anything. So he healed the man, then asked them. And he rebuked them is what he did. Knowing their thoughts, I don't want to add to the scriptures, I'm not, but he knew what they were thinking. He said, now, which one of you would have had an ass or an ox in the ditch and you wouldn't have pulled him out? Which one of you? None of you. You'd all pulled him out. Is it not lawful for me to do? Show mercy to this helpless man? And then the scripture says, starting in verse 7, he noticed how they were choosing out. When they got there to the house where he was, they were, how they chose out the chief rooms. He marked how they were going to take a place that in their opinion was worthy of them. And the scripture says, in verse 8 and 9, he said, when thou art bidden to any man, of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. Now, this is the heart of our passage. I'll just go back in Proverbs, and I'll read. This is, listen to our proverb. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For it's better that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince, in whom eyes thou seen. A believer is one that knows something of his insufficiency. He knows something. He knows that he'd been brought down by the grace of God. Before God called him by his grace, he stood. He was like that Pharisee in Luke 18 that he stood and prayed with himself. And he said, God, I thank thee. I'm not as other men are. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not like this publican. I'm not like that thief out there that steals from his own countrymen, pockets the difference, and he gives what he's got to the Romans. I'm not like him. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess, and I deserve the best room in the house. Now, people say, I don't think like that. Yes, we all do. I deserve it. Because of my faithfulness, because of my work. But he said back in Luke 14, he said, but instead, when you're bidden, you go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now here's our Lord, and he's not teaching manners. Now I don't want to, under any circumstances, take away the kindness and the respect of good manners. I mean, it's always right. It's always right to be kind and considerate and hold the door for somebody and don't, I mean, that's all right. But this is not the message of our Lord. He's not setting forth this our attitudes and manner toward it, but rather the heart and the attitude with which a sinner does approach God. When God Almighty gives that man, that woman, a new heart, let me tell you what he's going to do. Now, first of all, let me preface what I'm about to say by saying this. We all got an old man. We all got an old man. And let me tell you what the old man's going to do. He's going to do just exactly what these Pharisees did. I want the respect. I'm deserving of the respect. I'm deserving to sit in the best place. I want a good place. I hate to go somewhere go to a movie or something like that and I can't see. I can't see. Let's go get a better place. Let's get a place. I want to be able to see. I'm going to be able to, He said, look, you go to the lowest room. And this is the heart of the new man. The heart of the new man esteems another better than himself. I am what I am by the grace of God. That I'm here. That I'm here is by the grace of God. If you had to sit last Wednesday night, Barry, I'm not going to embarrass you. If I do, I apologize. Last Wednesday night, we all started getting together. And I told Bear, I said, Bear, I'm sorry, buddy. But I said, I need to put you over there in the study so I can get everybody placed like I need to. I said, he told me first that he would do it. And Mark, I took him up on it. And I put him over there in the dark. And he came up to me after the service. He said, that's the best place I could have sat right there. He said, I can sit right there and see. He said, when you're bidden, take the lowest place. Be like that publican. He stood, the scripture said, he stood afar off and he wouldn't even lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, smote upon his breast. God, be merciful to me. I'm just so thankful that I'm here, that I have a heart to be here. That God Almighty would have not left me. I could have been that car that just drove by. Just as easily. But this they said not in order to be saved, but because the Lord had done something for them. That publican was abased by God to take the lowest place, and God exalted him. He said, I'm telling you, when he smote upon his breast, he wouldn't even look up, lift his eyes to heaven. The Lord said, I tell you, this man went home justified. Not because of his attitude. His attitude reflected what God had done for him and brought him down. And took that lowest place and God lifted him up. God blessed him. Pride is the cause of a man exalting himself. I tell you though, pride will also, here's an enigma. I don't even know if that's the right word. Pride has caused a man to take the lowest place just in order for somebody to come to him and say to him, oh, no, you come over here. I tell you what, boy, that old man, that heart's deceitful. Lord, keep me from that. Keep me from myself. Lastly, the Lord declared the character of those that are effectually bidden to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Look at verses 12 to 14. The Lord had instructed those, and he said to the ones that actually had the supper. Then said he also to him that bade him, he said, now listen, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, so thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Well, you know, whenever the Lord was telling these that were there taking the best seats, he said, don't take the best seat. Take the lowest seat. Let me ask you, what did our Lord do when he came to this world? The scripture says he humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, and God exalted him. Come up here, you sit at my right hand. Until I make all of your enemies your footstool. The Lord himself, this is the attitude. This is the attitude of a believer that by the grace of God has been called out of darkness. This is the attitude of our Lord in His humility. It came into this world took his disciples, took a towel, washed their feet. The Lord of all, God who spoke this world into existence. Peter said, "You washing my feet? I ought to wash your feet." He said, "If I don't wash your feet, if I don't cleanse you daily of that taint of this world," he said, "you're washed. You're washed. He is washed. The only thing we need to have our walk cleansed daily, moment by moment by moment." And he does it himself. But then he told those, he said, when you make a supper, don't invite those. Don't invite those, your rich neighbors and naked, you know. He said, but rather call the blind and the poor and the maimed and those. Let me ask you this. Who does the Lord call out of this world? Huh? The foolish things. God calls those that the world considers to be the dregs of the society. You know, those the poor, the spiritual beggars and paupers, poor in spirit. That's who God's pleased to call. Those maimed, crippled in the fall, unable to support themselves. Those that lame halt, like Mephibosheth, like Jacob after the Lord touched him in the hollow of his thigh. And the blind, spiritually blind. I mean, those that are spiritually blind, born that way, but even after the Lord has called them out of darkness and given them sight, they still see through a glass darkly. And they still take the lowest seat. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I see, but oh, how little I see, how little I perceive. Lord, I know, but oh, that I might know Him and be found in Him. Oh, the Lord Himself, He told them that latter part. He said, verse 13, "When thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee." What are we going to give unto the Lord? The sacrifice of praise, that's all we got. Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving me thy great salvation, so rich and sweet. Thank you. Heal those 10 lepers. How many came back? The Lord said, wasn't there 10? Is there but one came back to thank Him? Lord, thank you. I'm just a sinner, saved by the grace of God. He told them, though, He said, "Thou shalt be blessed. They cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." I think about that blessed promise of being rewarded in the day of great judgment, when Almighty God is going to settle all the accounts. Let me tell you the greatest reward that I can possibly think of. A reward that is only ours by the grace of God, because we didn't earn it. Listen to this reward. Come. He said, when you come, don't take the best seat and let the one that bids you have to come to you and say, no, you go down here. You go down here and take that lower seat that He says, come up hither. Then that's when you'll be rewarded. Come. Ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Can you ever? I can't. I can't even imagine the joy. We walk by faith right now. We believe God. We rest in Him. We say like the thief on the cross, "Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, would you remember me? Remember me. a Syrophoenician woman. You're right. It's not right to give children bread to dogs, but the dogs eat the crumbs. Can I just get a few crumbs from you? By faith, we walk. We have a good hope, a good confidence in Christ. But in that day, to hear Him say to me, Marvin, come. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What a reward. If I don't have that, Fred, I don't have anything. I pray God bless this to our hearts and to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Pat.